This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen hu alladhi jalna muslimin. Did you think this was going to be in English? Yeah, I have to translate from my native language. I'm from Texas. Yep. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Well, my name is Yusuf. Can you say Yusuf? Huh. Wonder why you guys got it right. My wife still says useless. Mispronunciation, man. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Anyway, I was hearing the Sheikh talking about superstitions. You know what superstitions are? Huh? Stupid stitions. That's the way I look at it. Anyway, they told me to talk about a subject, and I really want to drag it out because it's a short subject. They said, can you prove there is a God? The answer is, can you prove there's not? It's so simple. Look around you. Where did everything come from? If you say, for instance, evolution or Big Bang, both of these are in the Quran. The evolution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created mankind from one single soul. Okay? And He evolved the scenarios of all of the people. And then He talks about it in Surah 49. He talks about it real clear. He said He made us all different from each other so we could recognize each other. Is that right? MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And if anybody says there is no God, what do they mean by that? Because every single person worships something. You know it? Yeah? Because Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He said He only created mankind and jinn, well, jinn and mankind, to worship Him. That is our only subject. That's our only subject, worship Allah. And people worship something. Maybe superstitions. Maybe football games. Yeah? And people. But if they don't worship Allah alone, without any partners, they fail. Most of the people will fail. Did you know that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that 1 out of 1,000 people get to go to Jannah. Huh? Whoa. 1 out of 1,000. Are there 1,000 people here? Huh? Only one of us can go. Whoa! Not really. The idea about this is to get the people on the same playing field that you are. Don't be like Dr. Zachary Nike, and you have to be memorize all of this stuff and all of the things that he does. Yeah, I can't do that. However, what you can do is think about the person you're talking to. And don't draw a line and put him on the other side of the line, like in a debate. Because even if you win the debate, you lose the opportunity to share the beautiful message of Islam. Number one, if you draw the line, put him over on your side with you, okay? Then it's easy to talk to him and find a common enemy. Who is a biggest enemy on the planet to the humankind? Huh? Shaitan, right? Yeah? So tell him about the devil. There is a devil, okay? And I want you and me to avoid getting in his traps. Ah, okay. So we're on the same side. Everybody is on the same side if they are awake enough to realize the devil is the big enemy to the human beings, right? So get them on that side of you and then start talking about it. In fact, people that say there is no God are not really sure. There's agnostics and then there's atheists. An atheist won't admit he's an agnostic. What is an agnostic? That's someone who says, I'm not sure. I don't think so, but maybe. And an atheist carries it to another distinct degree by saying, absolutely no. But in his mind and in his heart, he's thinking, well, maybe. But it's not like the God that they're talking about. Ah, okay. Now we're on the same page, right? We have a God. We have something to worship. People create things to worship. Yeah? A brand new car, a brand new house, a good job, a position. Yeah. But if you think about it, the bottom line is all of that is going to go away. We have a purpose. And let's talk about the purpose of life. The purpose of life, okay, we're born and we get into the life and then we die and we go to the grave. The next life. That makes you think. If I came into the world naked with nothing, and I go out of the world naked with nothing, What was the point? Huh? This is where you can bridge that gap. Because bottom line, if that person is really an atheist or an agnostic, if he's really real, he wants to believe that there is something, but he won't let himself. Okay. Now we are getting closer. Can we prove there is a God? Look around. And then they think, well, there is the Big Bang. There is the evolution. Okay. What evolved? Where did people come from? Oh, monkeys. Really? Yeah. Yeah, I have a brother-in-law too, but, you know. Yeah. The thing that we're talking about here is how we're going to deal with people that say there is no God. And we don't have to be a genius. And we don't even have to be an inspired person. Just be yourself. Be kind to the person. And you'll be surprised that a lot of times they'll come around. Maybe they won't believe right away. But the good news is that they're open for the opportunities for you to tell them about something. However, if you're not strong about telling people things, you can rely on what I do. I ask questions. There's three questions that you can ask a person and find out right away if they're a candidate for the Shahada or not. First question, is there a God? Well, he's an atheist. Say no. But you asked him a question, and in an elevator, this is an elevator pitch, by the way. So you ask the question, and even if he doesn't answer and he walks out the door of the elevator, you did your job. Why? Because you planted the seed. Is there really a God? Huh? He's walking along, that guy is nuts. Isn't there really a God? You can see it happening. But if he answers you and he says, no, there is no God, your next question, can we prove it? Put yourself with him. Can we prove it? Huh? What do you mean? The science is there. Okay. Science, where did that come from? People with smart brains came up with the science, right? Okay. Keep it simple. Ask questions. And most people will stick around. Even if they miss their floor in the elevator, they'll stick around because they want to answer the questions. And I've got a good guy here. He's asking me questions, and I'm going to enlighten him. Okay. My father used to do that. He was the excellent one for that. He would just ask a simple question and then think about the answers. Because anybody worth their salt is going to try to answer any question. If you think about it. So the next thing, if you get somebody and you're talking to them, you're trying to work with them and get them to understand, all right? They realize this. And they will answer your questions. But then they start seeing that you have a point that you're bringing up. The second question, if they say there is a God, the second question is God really one? I tried to prove that God was three, the Trinity, to a Muslim one time, and I wound up being a Muslim. Because it was so simple. And I'm arguing with something that I don't understand. How is one three? If you don't know the difference between a one and a three, I don't want you to do my income tax. Yeah, whoa. Anyway, if a person says there's three, but it's one God, how can you explain it? Give me an example. Well, they'll say, an apple. You compared an apple to God. Okay, so go ahead. The apple has the skin on the outside, the red skin, and then the white meat, and then the black seeds inside of it. Ask them, do you count the seeds? What if there's a worm in the apple? Do you count the worm? A better one. And I told the friendly, the persons that I was engaging with, and I asked them, how can I explain to this Muslim the Trinity? Because he's shooting down everything I'm saying. They said, oh, you use the apple? I said, yeah, but he said, blah, 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 blah. And they said, use the egg. The egg, you know? It has the shell on the outside, the liquid on the inside, and then the yolk in the middle. Three is one. Yeah? I got in the truck and I was driving away and I'm thinking, and I know, oh my God, he's going to say, what if it's a double yoke? Do you count the double? And I'm not going there. Oh. He said, it's real simple. There is a God. And he's one. That's it. Simple. We should be focusing on the purpose of our lives. Not whether or not there is a God. That's obvious. Something doesn't come out of nothing. Can nothing build something? That's crazy. Something has to modify, or things that are there. But where did they come from? How can you prove there's a God? Well, how can you prove there's not? The object of our lives is to find out who is the God and give the worship to the one and only God. That makes sense. Now, if you want to choose a religion, go for it. However, if you want to choose the one that is really one God, really one, and not convoluted stories twisted up, comparing God to the grocery list, then all of a sudden we find that we're on the same page with a person, and that person could likely become at least close to Islam. Because step by step by step, we all have something inside of us that, regardless of your persuasion, you have something inside of you telling you there must be something. And if somebody says, well, I die and just disappear, well, maybe you will wish that you would disappear after you die, but that's not going to be the case, because we came into this world and we're going to go out of this world. That means we existed before and we will exist after, because you said you came in and you go out. Hello? This is very interesting. The conversation twists. Now, usually people say there is a God. That's my experience. Most of the people say there is a God. But when you get to the one, that's when they have problems. If they're a Hindu, they have multiple gods. Many multiple gods. And this turns out to be, at the bottom line, one God. Did you know that? They say there was this. Ultimately, there's one God, but they're making partners with the God. That wouldn't work. And then the Christians, the Trinity, this is a big problem. Because the people behind the church, the priests, rabbis, and bishops, they all have their style. And mostly they don't like you to bring up that subject. They have a simple thing that they're going to tell you, just have faith. Have faith. Don't worry about it. Just have faith. How many of you are converts to Islam? Anybody? One, two, three. Four, five. I can see you better now. I have the lights in my eyes. Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. You feel that. Yeah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. How about anybody has wondered why? You don't ever raise your hands because people see you. But you have wondered why Islam is the right religion. And to check it out. I'm gonna think about this. You know, think about the other religions and atheism. Maybe there's no proof. What is the biggest proof that we have on earth to prove there is a God? What? Huh? You should say in unison, Quran! Alhamdulillah. The idea behind the Quran as being the go-to book, but it isn't in translations. Just like the Bible has translations, the Quran has translations. But Allah says in the Quran that you cannot make a book like it. Right? Yeah. So we know there's mistakes in the translations. Some of them are horrible and some of them are minor. But how much mistakes are you going to find in the Bible when they can't even find anything of the original source? Or according to one of the big scholars of the Bible, he became an atheist, an agnostic actually. He said, there's not a copy of 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 a copy. This is what he says. Six fingers, you know. Of the original Bible. Not a copy of 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 a copy. Woo! Think about that. So we do have copies of some basic. George Sale was the first to bring it to the English language in the 1700s. And he did a pretty good job. But when they started pestering him about being a Muslim, he said, oh, no, 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 I'm not a Muslim. He said, Islam is nice. It's really good. But I wouldn't change anything because he knew at the point that he would declare Islam, they would kill him. However, one of the people that got a copy of his book came to the New World, United States, before it was the United States. And he held this Quran in his hand when he made the translation of the Quran, when he made his oath of office. Not George Washington's. Yeah. But the second president of the United States held the Quran in his hand and made his shahada of the I'm thinking of Shahadas. I like to give Shahadas. But he entered into the office of president on the Quran. Thomas Jefferson is his name. Maybe you heard of him. But I lived in Washington, D.C. for a period of time, and I got to see a lot of things in that museum that they have there. Yeah. And I saw that. Also saw a statue of every single person that they say are good legal people, lawbringers. And you know what? They had a statue of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't like statues, but that's their business. And they give him credit for being a lawbringer, higher than the status of Moses with the Ten Commandments, Musa alayhi salam. So this is really an eye-opener for a lot of people. This says 14 minutes left. I like the idea of sharing the word of Allah. And I liked it before when I was thinking I was sharing the word of God, because that's all I had. But my father told me one time when I was a kid, he said, the Bible today is not the word of God. And he was one of the people that were spreading the word. He said, the Bible is not the word of God. It's the word of inspired people, inspired by God. So there's mistakes. He's one of the few people that I know that told the truth about the Bible. Jimmy Swaggart, in the debate with Ahmadinejad, he said, he held it up like that, and he said, this is the absolute word of God. Well, you know what's wrong with that? It's in English. English is one of the newest languages on the planet. How old is English? 3,000 years? 1,000 years? Not even 1,000 years old. English was spread after the invasion of the Normans on the Saxons. And then they built the English language up in 1066 AD. After that, 1066 AD. And you can check it out on ChatGPT. IA. Alhamdulillah. The idea of the three questions, and I'm going to go back to that. This is not about the three questions, but a simple question. Is there a God? Duh. Hello. Next question. The three questions that you can ask a person. Is there a God? Is God one? And then the big one. Do we tell God what to do, or God tells us what to do? And this is scratching away at the purpose of life. Why are we here? Because Allah wants us here so that He has no problem showing you where your ultimate place is going to be on the judgment day. Is it going to be a beautiful palace in the Jannah? Or is it going to be a hot place? And I don't want to even describe it. And all of us, regardless, were not worthy of entering the Jannah. Only because of Allah's mercy, His Rahmah, His Rahim. You know the difference between the Rahmah and the Rahim? Huh? You heard it. Okay. But for the few that out here that don't know it, I'll tell you about the Hadith, the translation of the Hadith. The Prophet ﷺ was going with his companions, and they saw a lady holding a newborn baby. And he asked them rhetorically, would this lady allow her baby to fall into a fire? They said, no. Duh. He said, Allah's mercy is the mercy that is in everybody. So your mothers, your fathers, your employees, or your neighbors, they all have this. But they don't demonstrate it, you know, but they all have it. And this is from Ar-Rahman. And he said, but the Rahmah of Allah is in 100 parts. 100 parts. And one is in the dunya, in this material world. The other 99 parts are Rahim. Ah, that's facing the people that show up on the Day of Judgment, and they are the Muslims. MashaAllah. We thank Allah for His Rahmah and His mercy. And this is one of the things you can explain to the people. And I want you to talk to the people that are not Muslim. And those that are Muslim, they take it easy when it comes to the salat, the fasting, so on. Inject this, our purpose of life is to be on the good side of Allah on the judgment day, because then we're not going to be able to say anything. Our bodies will testify against us. Our bodies will say, you know what he made me do? The legs where he made me walk. The eyes, you know what he made me look at? Oh. The hands, the feet, the ears, even the skin is going to testify to what we did. And it's not going to be nice. However, for the ones who maintain the salawat, their prayers. By the way, do you know what the salah means? Huh? In English? Huh? Tell us. The salah is a connection. Sila. You find that in the root. The root, go to the root. You can't do that in English because we don't have any roots. However, in Arabic, you have a root for every single thing. And you find out that silla or salah is a connection for communication. So make your connection and communicate with Almighty Allah every day, 5 times a day. And you'll be surprised. Yeah, you will want to do it extra, 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 because you're seeing the results of communicating with the ultimate Almighty Allah. And inshallah, I leave you with this good word, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And we love the fact that He made us and He is forgiving us. All we have to do is repent to Him, make tawbah. And tawbah means you turn around and go back. Go back. Go back to Allah. And if you do that, Allah will always receive you. We say open arms, but yeah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Hu Allah, Jalna Maslami. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.